I don't know. I mean, I see. I mean, again, I mean, I thought all of this worked as far as the film goes. I mean, again, the film is a completely different thing from the TV show, and I think that's part of the.
Yes,
I
but,
think
you
part
know,
of the
like,
problem is it's like you're expecting the TV show and you're getting
but,
something
but you
else.
Know what?
I mean, even
yeah.
Joss Whedon admitted when he wrote this screenplay, it occurred to him, oh my God, this isn't Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
This is something else.
But you know what? But I'm just saying, like, those other TV to film interpretations I mentioned before
yeah.
were just that much more successful, you know, in that respect. Dave, back me up.
I'm on the fence because, you know, sometimes we can agree about some of these, sometimes
yeah.
not. You know, all right,
yeah.
You know, as a fan of the show, as
I mean,
the
X-Files,
fan of
the
show.
What was it? Oh, yeah, South Park was the other one you mentioned.
I mean, South Park.
South Park, okay, the thing about South Park, to go off on a complete tangent here, the thing about South Park, being on the big screen liberated that movie because it could be as raunchy as it wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the different. That's why South Park was so successful because it was shame. It was like muzzle
mm-hmm.
on TV,
mm-hmm.
where in movies it could just go all out.
Mm-hmm.
They could do whatever they wanted
mm-hmm.
within reason
yeah.
of an R rating. But
you know, but that's the thing. That's how I feel about.
Skirt around the edges on that.
Yeah,
movie,
I think
too.
They had to submit it like six times to finally get it already.
But you know, that's the way I feel about, you know.
And I know you mentioned the X-Files too, and that's a good point about the X-Files. That is a very successful
interpretation. Yeah.
TV to
or
movie. But at the same time, I mean, they were still making the show when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I'm just saying though, like, you know, you have the exact same, you know, wealth of, you know, opportunities
mm-hmm.
with, you know, Serenity as you do with South Park. They're just different TV shows. They're just different.
Yes, they are.
But
they're
saying,
very different TV
but
shows.
But no, listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying you have the exact same wealth of opportunities to do whatever you want with Serenity as you did with Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. It's just they're just different formats.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
I think you could almost say that with the X-Files. I'm not sure if you could say that with South Park.
Can't really compare South Park
yeah,
with
yeah,
either of those.
Yeah,
I'm not comparing.
Yeah, X-Files
is a better comparison.
Much more than South Park.
X-Files
I mean,
and even
like
Star Trek is a better comparison.
Yeah, I mean, South Park
is a
much random.
I'm not comparing.
South Park is a completely different
mm-hmm.
beast in itself.
I'm not
comparing. A, it's animated.
Mm-hmm.
B, well, I mean, I said it. It's like you are completely liberated
mm-hmm.
from the censors.
Well,
I mean,
allow
not completely,
me to,
but
allow
still.
Me to point out that I'm not comparing the kind of shows they are. I'm not comparing, you know, like, you know, I'm not comparing, like, you know, apples to oranges. I'm comparing just the fact that, you know, what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm. I'm not comparing
apples to oranges here, dude.
Right,
you're not
right,
seeing
right,
what I'm
right.
saying?
I feel what you're saying. I mean, you're saying the opportunity was the same.
To do whatever the hell they wanted with
right,
Serenity.
Right, but I'm not.
I don't agree with that because of the fact that South Park, when the movie came out, was an established hit. This was a cult hit. That's completely different. The X-Files
yeah.
was an established hit.
Yeah.
It was a blockbuster on TV.
Well, I'm not...
So, I mean, you know, they had less... You know, yes, the movie, you know, yes, the transition, you basically were essentially seeing an X-Files
mm-hmm.
TV show
right.
with the movie.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, they had to work less to get an audience in the
mm-hmm.
in the theaters with X-Files, with Star Trek, with South Park.
Mm-hmm. But you know what?
All of those shows
mm-hmm.
by that point were hits.
Point.
Even Star Trek, which was off the which had been off the air for like 10 years,
mm-hmm.
but it had been become a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Firefly was not a hit. It
point
was
taken.
Canceled after 11 episodes, and it had to build its audience,
mm-hmm.
and it was very limited in its audience. Mm. It was not a movie with wide appeal at the time.
Okay, point taken, but I'm just saying with more finesse, the movie could have...
Yeah, I have my own issues with this
yeah.
movie, and I think
with more finessing by
there,
because Joss Whedon is still to this day my hero. Okay,
right.
I'm saying with more finessing and more, I don't know what,
right.
But Dave, you know what I'm talking about.
I hear you, but you know at the same time, you know, once you start talking about, you know,
you could have made this movie work a heck of a lot more than it does.
Right. I'm not even sure what that looks like, though.
Exactly.
I'm not even sure what that looks like because
this,
well,
you know, this is such a specialized premise.
He's got a huge cult following, he's got to make it work for everybody else.
Exactly. And the fact
that's
of the
virtually
is,
impossible.
I'm, well,
yeah.
Especially when you're talking about such a specialized premise.
But this
is not simply an anime comedy like South Park.
Mm,
it's
right.
not simply
science
a
fiction.
Film noir science fiction mystery like The X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simply a science fiction adventure in the same vein that Star Trek is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a more specialized...
But what I'm saying is this is Joss Whedon.
It is Joss Whedon.
And who, to this day, still is my hero, but I'm saying, because it's him, I just expected more.
Right. But what does that say about him, though?
That's basically said. He's raised the bar so high with what he does in television.
Right.
And, okay,
this was movie number one, you know?
This is movie number one.
With an incredibly difficult premise in order to make it work.
I realize.
Yeah, you know? So, even though there are issues with the movie, you know, I'm letting him ride.
Yeah.
Know? Mm-hmm. I'm letting him ride. I can understand because he did such a good job with what was there in terms of, especially in terms of just explaining the story. I mean, he gets the story across.
Yeah.
Which would be virtually impossible for anybody else, I think.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
But I mean, we're talking over one of Ron Glass's like only moments.
Yeah. Really.
In the movie. You know,
a Shepherd Book. Who,
right.
I mean, here is one of the characters who really got this. The shaft in terms of development.
Right.
I agree with you guys on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely, you don't really get his, like you said before, Ron, you don't really get his relationship to the crew. You
mm-hmm.
don't
Not
Well, what's special about his character.
Right.
What his character, I mean, you sort of, yeah, you don't really get much of a description with his character.
Right.
But what I did
I
see of it,
that.
I was happy with.
Yeah,
this character in particular, as far as like, you know, the character, one of the characters that, you know, got less screen time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was one of the few characters that got little screen time that I was happy with what was done with it.
Yeah.
Right. What do you guys think of some people saying that Nathan Fillion is the next, like, Han Solo type guy?
Well, you
I've heard
of
the people who said that he is.
And but
yeah,
did I not read my
Firefly and Serenity review? I mentioned it.
Okay, because
especially my Serenity review.
I've seen a couple other places.
Did anyone read Entertainment Weekly?
I looked at the score. I just didn't read the review. That's
really
yeah.
Okay.
It's on the site.
Did anyone read Entertainment Weekly that Nathan Fillion's face does not belong up in the movie screen? I read that.
Really?
In Entertainment Weekly.
Which issue to read?
That was just like...
I think it was
an issue discussing like the forthcoming DVD release.
Oh, okay.
And like, it was like, Nathan Fillion's face just is up along on the big screen. And like, you know, that's not...
I don't know. I mean, I see where that sort of thinking comes from,
right.
But I mean,
but it's pretty shallow at the same time.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it really
it's pretty shallow.
I mean, you know,
I think he does an excellent job.
Oh,
I think TV
so,
show. I mean,
now what I like about this right here is like this sequence, this little.
This is the best sequence him and Inara have.
But this
right.
is also one of the best moments in the movie that defines the crew as a family.
Oh yeah,
I believe as well.
Right.
The fact that they're, you know, watching
mm-hmm.
these two
yeah,
do
right.
their little thing and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
And this
the
scene right here as well.
Gorgeous.
Like, did you hear us fight? No.
Trap. Did you guys see his fight?
No. Trap.
Remember the words of Trap? Alan Tudyk as a Wash. He played Sonny the Robot and iRobot. Was also in 28 Days and Steve the Pirate and Dodgeball.
I still need to see Dodgeball.
That movie's hilarious. Adam Baldwin as Jane. He was in Independence Day, Patriot.
Fifth Season of Angel.
Fifth Season of Angel. Nathan Fillion was in the seventh season of Buffy.
Right. Which he was really
just
good.
Brilliant.
He was really, he
was one of the best villains Buffy ever had.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked about this in the musical commentary. How well does Joss Whedon write villains? I mean,
I think he's. Oh, I mean, he's the operatives. The operatives a great example of it. But I love that scene that the thing Mal just said. It's like, okay, now if I'm not back in an hour, you take this ship and you come get me. It's like, what? Ruin my ship? The incredibly gorgeous Marina Baccarin as Inara. Yeah.
And again, like the reason I was so taken with this character was never because of like, well, yes, because of her exceptional beauty, but I think I was mentioning this on our way to the, you know, the preview screen, the fan screen, that like what made this character special to me was like not, you know, it was like her interpretation of the actress's interpretation of the character.
Oh yeah,
right.
I mean, the character is wonderfully written.
Yeah.
I mean,
like she plays
the way the character's written is just excellent. Mm-hmm.
The way she plays it with such dignity.
Oh yeah.
And like, you know, I can't imagine Rebecca Gayheart was originally casted in this role.
Yeah.
Ever, you know, now.
Oh no, like, I mean,
just because, like, you know,
what I've seen Rebecca Gayheart in, I can't imagine her being in this role.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, I just can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we just saw a couple of really great moments that sort of established the sort of back and forth between Mal and Inara.
Not as successfully as I think as you think it is, Brian.
See,
It was a little bit too tongue in cheek for my opinion.
Well, I mean, like Dave was saying about Jane, it's not so much just individual moments that define that character.
That's the thing.
This relationship, it's just over throughout the entire thing. Like you saw Mal with the video of Inara in her shuttle, like getting ready to leave earlier. Mm-hmm. You saw them, you know, doing their back and forth thing on the video recently.
But
you
know,
it's just a natural progression.
That being said, though,
establishing that character.
That being said, though, I think it could have been done just slightly more successfully than it was executed.
I mean, well, and the thing is,
like that, like that little moment
how would you do it?
That little moment between, well, that's the thing. I'm not Joss Whedon, so I, you know,
exactly. Joss Whedon just tried, and clearly he didn't like it. So.
No,
yeah. I mean,
but that's the thing. I just expected more.
I mean, well,
because
I mean, what are you
this moment,
Ron? What are you expecting out of this movie? Are you expecting like a 3-hour movie, Firefly?
No,
movie?
I'm expecting something to work.
Yeah, for me, overall, it works. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, of course, there's going to be disappointments, you know, because we're trying to translate some deep character explorations into, you know,
a 2-hour movie,
which is just not going to happen. I mean, you know, you're just going to miss some stuff, you know. So, and I know some of my disappointments, just overall fan disappointments. You know, I know stuff that would be impossible for him to do.
Exactly.
You know, and I know it's going to be missed, but I'm just going to be disappointed anyway because I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's going to happen. But you know, I think overall, I mean, of course, there are particulars that I think he could have done better. But you know, overall, I think he did pretty well.
I like that moment.
Right. That
is a great Mal moment.
Yeah, that's
right
an excellent
there.
Mal moment. That's
where it's like, I mean, you know, he is not afraid to shoot an unarmed man.
Right.
Despite what he said in Serenity to Simon.
Right.
But, I mean, this isn't Simon. This is somebody who is a clear threat to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But,
well, that's the thing. It wasn't a direct.
Okay, here's the thing about Nora that I was going to mention was, and Joss Whedon talked about it, there are a lot of deleted scenes, there are a lot of deleted scenes with Nora on the DVD,
gotcha.
And he talks about in the commentary of those scenes that her character got hit the hardest when it came to editing, just because of the fact that the stuff with her in there just didn't work for the overall momentum of the movie.
Right.
And that's the thing about the movie, is that you can't necessarily take your time when it's supposed to be an action-adventure movie. You can't necessarily take your time like you can on a show. Because you know on a show, you're going to have the next week to, you know, make it a little more action-oriented. You're not necessarily guaranteed that in the movie.
They're just you know? Movies that do, because that's the thing, well, that's one of the discussions we had about this movie.
Oh, that hurt like crap.
This movie does, in fact, have everything.
Yeah.
But I've seen movies that, of lesser, you know, merit, that have everything and just carried out much more successfully. They're like, this is going to be a crazy thing, but, like, you know, just follow me on this. That's a real cheese ball moment, in my opinion. Like, those aren't incense or whatever. But anyway.
I see where you're coming from.
But I'm, okay, you know, just follow me on this. Independence Day. Multiple characters. A movie meant to have everything. The scares, the thrills, the laughs. And did we not feel it watching that movie? Multiple characters that we were, like, introduced. And I know that's a pretty random... You know, as a pretty random mob.
I see where I see why you're making the comparison.
Mm-hmm. It's a random comparison.
I see why you're making the comparison. Except for
not because they're both science fiction.
Here's the problem I have with it.
Mm-hmm.
With Independence Day, you're dealing with a very archetypal story. You're dealing with a very formulaic story. Yes, it has everything.
It has comedy,
has action, has
and it's suspense. And it's carried out rather successfully as
yes, well. Yes, it is. But the fact of the matter is, you're dealing with a very close... You don't have to explain a whole lot in that movie. I mean, you can establish character relationships and stuff like that, because of the fact that you're dealing with... It's such a simple story, though.
Mm.
This is far from a simple story. I mean, it's like... I mean...
I know.
Right. I feel you right. I mean, you know, and a lot of the relationships between the characters in that story and Independence Day were just basically there for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, it's like...
You have to make it happen.
You've seen that type of story before. Mm. I mean, that was not an original movie.
No.
But
it was original in the sense that it was, you know, I felt it was original. That's why I'm a fan of the movie, because it is original in the sense that it carries all those elements as successfully as it does. And that's what...
I don't know that
makes it original. I mean, there were other movies before that.
I think there were some original elements that. Within that.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying the way it carries those elements made it maybe not original, but it made it special to me.
I can feel okay. that. I mean, you know, and I enjoyed that movie too.
I did too. I mean, we did commentary on it.
Mm-hmm.
We all enjoyed that movie, but.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you, Ron. You know, it's just for me, you know, I can tell with the type of material he had here and just, you know, where he had to come from and who he had to please.
You know,
just making that all work is just extremely
difficult. I realize that, but you know what?
And having this be his first shot, you know?
No, in those respects, it is successful, but I'm saying... Maybe if he had been given another year to work on the story, to work on the script.
He had.
How long did he...
From the time this movie, the show ended to the time it was the movie was greenlit was a year and a half.
And
I'm not saying he worked on it consistently for that long.
And I'm saying that's a little...
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, he clearly had the idea for this story in his head. I don't.
Yeah, but
does
a
not
little
feel like it was just slapdash put together.
No, nor does it
I
feel
can,
that way
I
to
can
me.
Point
but
at
it's
some other movies that are sitting on that shelf, by the way, Star Wars Episode 1 and 2, that feel slapdash as far as the way they were, as the way the stories were.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was a story like this one that had a story well established, had relationships that were well established, and it had to carry. And it, those don't do it as successfully as this does. And I love those movies. So, mm-hmm. I mean.
But I'm saying a little polishing here and there, you know, just kind
of. Yeah, I mean, you know, and for me, I just don't think, I don't think he lost it on the polish, because, I mean, you know, I think we're looking at a pretty well put together, you know,
exactly.
Movie.
I'm not talking polishing in terms of editing or anything. I'm talking polishing in terms of script.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, I see
the script
where the script falls down. I see those more as snafus rather than lack of polish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, plus, I mean, this movie was originally supposed to come out in April of this year, and Universal pushed it back because of the fact that they didn't want it to get swallowed up by all the summer blockbusters, namely Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So he had 5 extra months.
Right.
To polish this if he wanted to. At this point, I've seen 13 seasons of Joss Whedon TV. Quality Joss Whedon TV.
Mm.
The man has my trust as far as the story he wants to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, okay, does that make me a hopeless Joss Whedon fanboy? Maybe. But you know what? I mean, when you've given me as much entertainment value and on shows that rival for me a lot of feature films that I've watched in terms of quality of writing, in terms of quality of acting, in terms of just their overall impact to me,
mm-hmm.
you're going to earn my trust your first time out.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a perfect movie? No. Personally, perfection is kind of overrated anyway because nobody can really achieve it. No movie is perfect.
I'm not looking for a perfect movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize she was holding a can when she was up on the thing. When she was like, you know,
Ambushing
Jane.
I think I noticed that one of the other times that I saw it in the theater. I mean,
I'm not looking
for completely, you know, the fact of the matter is, though, I mean, we're completely, like, not even
watching.
Well, that was in the point of this commentary, though.
Well, I mean, I think to a certain extent it has to be.
Yes, it is,
but
it isn't, because, I mean, I'm here to discuss the movie. I'm not here to watch it.
Right,
should at least point out stuff.
Oh, without question,
along.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm in total agreement of that. You know, I'm just saying, like, you know.
And we're not really doing that.
But I don't think we need to lose sleep over it, though.
Let's just. You know,
I have my moments I want to point out, just like you guys, but like I'm not going to lose sleep over it because I'm here to discuss the movie because I am to this day still a fan of it, but it's very much a discussion piece as it is.
Well, the thing is, it's like for me, it seems to me that you were, okay, maybe not expecting the perfect movie, at least expecting the perfect Firefly movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I was expecting.
The fact of the matter is,
I was not expecting
you
a perfect
can't
movie.
Please everybody with these movies. With any movie. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much stuff you put into a movie. You can't please everybody with a movie. I know that. That is a funny thing there. Or we could just talk some more.
Yeah, you know what? I always like the scenes between Mal and River. They're always, you know. It's not quite like father daughter, you know. There's like some tension there, and you know, Mal's always sort of on edge, and you know, it just doesn't quite settle.
That's one of the things I mentioned in my review of the movie that I really like about the movie is the fact that the way it sort of progresses in the same direction the show was headed with that relationship, where it's like. There is that distrust of her in Mal, but also there is that parental instinct.
Right.
Is that still picking us up?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
There is that. I've got plenty of space on there, so I'm not too worried about it. But there is that parental instinct in him, I think. Mm-hmm. Sort of, maybe not parental instinct, but certainly the instinct that he may have had as a soldier and that he wants to protect her.
Right.
Doesn't feel good about putting her in harm's way.
Right.
Contrary to what he says to Simon at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But,
yeah, this I wasn't quite expecting to see a scene like this in the movie. Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, he really with him, the way he took how far he took the PG-13 rating in this movie. He has never been anything if not merciless as a writer over the years in terms of really sort of throwing his fans for a jolt, which is one of the reasons I love his work so much, is the fact that he's not afraid to do that. Some people are. He's not.
He knows how to push every button.
Yes.
There's no question.
And most of the time he does it with some form of class.
Yes.
Rather than going for pure shock value or making it purely cheesy.
Exactly.
It with some form of class, which is always good.
He knows how to push buttons. But this right here, this is what you would call, what the fanboys on the internet would call, a big damn death, I suppose.
Yeah, a big damn death.
Yes. BDE.
Goes back to a reference in, I believe, Safe was the episode where Mal says, what does that make us? And Zoe says, big damn heroes.
Yes.
This was known as the big damn movie, and this is one of the big damn deaths.
Yes. And I was like, you know, did we not walk into this movie saying, Book is the one that's going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew that, like, a couple episodes into the show, that, you know, if the show was still going on, season two or three, he'd probably be dead.
Yeah.
You know.
By the farm.
I mean, since Joss Whedon, he might come back to life later, but he'd be dead.
And did we not discuss that, like, Book's story would not be the perfect story for the sequel?
It would be a very good story.
Yeah, I think that would be a good story.
You know, Joss Whedon would make it work. He's that good of a storyteller.
Book's character still leaves that much of a resonance.
Oh yeah.
Even in just the terms of the movie.
Right. Yes. But you know, I think that part of that is because Ron Glass is such a really good actor.
Yeah.
You know, he just adds weight to any part. I mean, the part is well written, but he just kind of adds weight to any part.
Why was this show canceled? God.
Because Fox is run by fools.
I don't care about saying that.
They also canceled Futurama. They deserve it.
Didn't they cancel Family Guy and then brought it back?
Was that
Fox?
Yeah,
but I've never really watched
Family Guy. I'm just saying, you know.
They canceled a show. They've canceled a lot of shows over the years. Right. I mean, Arrested Development, we were talking about earlier, is a great example. But
cancel a show and then have to bring it back because somebody people buy the DVDs. I mean, what does that tell you? That means, you know, you're probably stupid.
Exactly.
For canceling the show.
Well, that's the thing. This show just ultimately, I mean, at least from what was established on the television, it didn't belong on the big screen. I feel it belonged back on the small screen. Do you guys not
know? I definitely agree with the fact
if you were gonna bring,
need more than just, like, you know, you could essentially look at this. This is one episode.
I could see a movie
need more than one episode to tell this story.
I could see a movie coming further down the line, maybe like, you know, around the fifth year of the show. But I'm just saying that if you're going to bring these characters back, if you're going to bring this premise back, do it on the small screen. Don't.
And he tried.
Yeah,
he tried.
Sci-Fi,
UPN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, but
other places nobody would take it.
I mean, he just wanted to do more Firefly. It's at some point in whatever way he could get it.
Yeah,
yeah. Not like he just decided, oh, the show's over, I want to do a movie about it.
Right.
No, he tried to bring this back on the big, on the small screen,
which is where
really
it belonged.
Right.
Ultimately, that's where it belonged, and I realized that, you know, he tried, but like I'm saying, that's just where this. belong. You know, I can see him again. I can see a movie a couple years down the line, but just not so soon. But I realize that that's.
Yeah,
I realize.
I mean, I'm glad we got it. You know.
Oh, so am I.
I think the actors alone deserved, you know, more chance with these characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't quite really know what he was planning when he was giving out these orders. That,
I mean,
yeah.
I sort of got it.
Right.
I did too. I sort of got it, but not really. Now, this is an Alliance guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It seemed kind of like out of the way the first time I saw it. Him shooting this guy, it seemed kind of out of the way. It was, you know, it's a.
Well, you know, it's supposed to add emphasis to his words. I mean, I think it's pretty much consistent with the TV show. I'm not sure if it necessarily needed to be there, but I don't think it was out of place in terms of what's already been said.
No, I didn't think so either.
No, I kind of disagree with you on that, but you know, that's the thing.
We clearly disagree on wild aspects
for
this movie. I'm sorry.
For me, it was not too much different than, you know, him just shooting the guy when he said that he was unarmed.
But like, I like what Joss Whedon said in the commentary is that, like, you know, that's the third time Mal shoots an unarmed man,
right.
And that's almost kind of a subliminal what is the word I'm looking for?
A reaction.
That's kind of like a subliminal reaction to the revised Greedo Han Solo scene in.
Oh yeah,
New Hope.
I have heard that. Yeah,
you know, it's kind of it's
I
nice.
Hear that,
it's not a blatant kind of, but it's very, you know, it's kind of like underlying, kind of like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that moment right there is supposed to show the humanity of Mal.
Which I think it does. I think it does that successfully.
Yeah, I mean, I think
again.
I think the show overall does that successfully. Mm-hmm.
Or,
you know,
there was a deleted scene shortly after that where between Mal and Inara, but it was wisely cut. I love the deleted scenes. They're great scenes, but all of them were cut for a good reason.
Mm.
Right.
And it was just because of the fact that
you
have to keep momentum going in a movie like this. And
now, I realize that, like, whoever might be listening to this is thinking I'm just going back and forth. I'm just being a schizophrenic as far as, like, what my feelings on the movie are. But you guys have to interpret it for them that, like, you know, it's just like, you know, my thoughts on, you know, the original Spider-Man. You know, there were just, you know, just.
Except for, here's the difference between the.
Yeah.
You made it pretty clear that you were not a fan of the original Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you have said throughout this commentary that you like this movie.
Yeah.
And that, and I mean, I knew that you had issues with it even after we came out of it the first time, but it's like, it just seems like your opinion, it does, for me at least, seem like your opinion, your general opinion does not mix.
Going back to the fan screening.
Specific.
Going back to the fan screening. You guys, I was there reacting with just like everyone else, just cheering and just laughing and crying with everyone else.
Well, was it? You're laughing and crying.
I was
laughing and crying.
Yeah, I guess.
But
I guess
you know what? But okay,
yeah.
You know what? That was the fan screen.
Right.
That was the screening where the energy, I was with it, and I was, you know, I was watching with fans.
I think.
You know, watching it the second time and, like, you know, other subsequent times I've watched this, I haven't been watching as a fan. From a fan standpoint, without question, I am a fan of this movie. This movie, I mean, this was just a wonderful present to the fans of the show.
And see, here's the thing. Here's the thing that sort of worried me, though, in this sort of now infamous email you sent out to us shortly before we were going to see this opening day, that's what worried me, is that you say, yes, I'm a fan of this show, or I'm a fan of this movie, but, I mean, you just said that it's like, you know, yes, I was there in the screening, but it's like, you know, the more I think about it...
It's not a steadily declining opinion.
I understand where you're coming from,
Mom, when you said, you know, as a fan, whatever. But
as
you know,
a fan of the show,
kind of
judging
the merit, the movie on its, I guess, on its own.
I've always been a fan of this movie as a fan of the show.
Right.
As average Joe moviegoer, though, not so much.
Right.
That's
right.
What I'm trying to convey because. I mean, I went out and bought the movie today, did I not?
Yes, you did. But here's the thing.
I love this.
You're not necessarily average Joe moviegoer because you had the experience of watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
You can't necessarily call yourself an average... That'd be like me... You know, that'd be like me saying, oh, I'm a casual moviegoer.
Mm-hmm.
You know...
But I am.
Star, you know, it'd be like me... saying, like, oh, I love the Star Wars movies, but it's like, I have issues, you know, but
I do. I love Episode 1, and I love Episode 2, but I have, ultimately, a number of issues. Okay.
Well, yes,
and
I mean, but the thing is, but here's the thing, those issues seem to be coming out of the fact that you are a fan of the show.
Well,
a lot of those issues are because of the fact that you are a fan of the show. And the show didn't,
yeah,
and this movie did not live up to your expectations as a fan. You can't make that distinction between being simply a fan, being a fan of the show, and being a casual movie fan.
Well, I think
you can't make that distinction in this case.
I think I have, and you know, I'm sorry if we okay, but again, another thing, the people here. Was I not the only one who thought these images were not as powerful as they were meant to be?
Oh no, I thought the first one, you know, was pretty scary. Not the shock moment that they gave you, but then they kept on showing it. It looked kind of gruesome to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that was
again. Ultimately, I don't think they seem kind of like, you know, they,
you know,
I got the feeling that like they weren't made specifically for this movie. I thought they were like just like things that were just pulled out of the prop department.
You know, I'm not sure.
And that was my interpretation. That was my feelings on like, you know, the bodies and like.
Right.
They were not the images were not as powerful as they were meant to be. They just felt like they were just dragged out of the prop shop. That's just me.
I hear you. I mean, you know, I think it's difficult for, you know, to do this where the bodies are all like preserved, you know.
Yeah.
And then in order to make that come off powerfully, you know, because we're looking at almost humans.
Because the fact
kind of sorta, you know.
Plus the fact of the matter is it's like we don't know the whole story. It's
right.
Like why. You're not supposed to be necessarily thinking, wow, this is, you know,
right.
You're not necessarily supposed to be thinking, oh my God, this is gruesome. You're really, really, you are supposed to be thinking, well, what happened here that caused this?
Yeah,
like,
but that's,
you know,
that's not where, I mean, that's just not where I was coming. We just talked over my Oscar clip.
Your Oscar clip?
The Oscar clip.
We're talking Oscars now?
No, I'm talking, well, you know, in terms of, you know. You know, Wrath of Khan. You know, just like that's what I was talking about. The point.
Oh, the scene with River.
No, the scene with Wash, where he's like, "Let's get to the beacon." I'm sorry, that was just so cheeseball. That was just, we obviously talked over it, but that
we've
was
been
just
talking about over like 80% of the movie.
Yes, we have been, but that one moment with Wash. was just so cheeseball, in my opinion.
Right. Let's get
to the beacon. I'm sorry. It's like Oscar clip. Yeah.
For me, it wasn't quite as much cheese. What I really liked is actually this part. This part was the scariest part for me. Actually,
I agree.
I mean, you know, you just it's just the way the music came together, and you know the way the way this actress, I don't know who she is, but the way she's delivering it.
I can't remember what
she
is.
I've seen her.
Sarah
this
Paulson.
This is
fantastic.
Actually, this
is
very scary.
Who she is.
This is very, it's very disturbing. It's very scary, and I agree. This is one of the few very successful scenes.
Right.
Yeah.